Well, this morning we're going to continue in our series, Unstoppable. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 39, and I hope that most of you had a chance to read Genesis 39, not 38, if I said that last week, sorry. But we were skipping 38, we were going right into Genesis 39 as we're looking at the life of Joseph. And I hope you made time to read that chapter this week in preparation for worship for next week. So I'll just tell you now, let's prepare to worship next week by reading Genesis chapter 40. Jason's going to be preaching next week. I'm going to be in Dallas, so he's going to be preaching. So make sure you prepare to come for worship, having read God's word and getting ready for that. But in our chapter this morning, we see that Joseph was eventually thrown into prison, but he didn't stop. Nothing stopped him. He continued on. Remember what we said last week. When we talk about unstoppable, we're not talking about our own intestinal fortitude, our own desire, our own resolve. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit working within us that helps us to remain unstoppable no matter what life throws at you. Have you ever felt like Joseph did as you read that chapter? Felt like you try so hard to live for God, and the harder you try to live for God, it just seems like the more obstacles get thrown in your path, the more difficult it is to live rightly for Him, the more things pop up and they try and trip you so you fall flat on your face. It makes you want to stop, just to quit. And you maybe have started thinking, is all this sacrifice, this resisting from doing what I want to do, And that what I think will make me happy, is all this worth it? Why can't I just have my cake and eat it too? The more I try and live for God, the more Satan seems to be tempting. Maybe I should just quit. If this describes even a hint of the conversations you may be having with God in your mind and in your heart, I hope this morning and I pray that you'll find genuine encouragement as we look at the life of Joseph, a man who was unstoppable because of the power of God in his life. Joseph was a country boy. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was being transported. We talked about that last week. He was being transported to the capital city of the most advanced nation on the earth. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt as the camels crested that hill and the wonders of ancient Egypt spread out before him on the plains of Giza? I want to invite you to do something real quick this morning. I know it's dangerous, but I want you to close your eyes. Please, just close them. And I want to invite you to look around with me. Can you see what Joseph may have seen? Can you see the great pyramids? Can you see the Sphinx? Can you see the Egyptian temples? The palaces of Pharaoh and his people? Can you see those things? Can you see the sand? You can open your eyes. Imagine leaving someplace like Forgottonia, Illinois, and going to Chicago as your first trip ever out, or New York. It would be a great shock to a person's system. This was a shock to Joseph. It was surprising to this young man. Every step he took, every mile he traveled, further and further led him further away from his home, further away from his father. Every new sight assured him of the truth that his life was forever changing, that his life would never be the same. By the time we finish this chapter this morning, just the second chapter of Joseph's life, we will see that Joseph's been thrown into a cistern, sold into slavery, been in charge of Potiphar's house, and then thrown into a prison. He endured much pain, much sorrow, much rejection, abuse, heartache, all of this in this very young life. But through it all, Joseph kept something very precious. In spite of the assault of his brothers, the separation from his father, the indignity of being sold into slavery, the insult of imprisonment, Joseph maintained a firm grip on his character because he was confident and who God had called him to be. That's what we talked about last week. And he learned to be content in all his circumstances. When we say the word character, you and I both know that there are persons who have good character and persons who have bad character. So what is character? Character simply is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. It's who you are. So Joseph, like you and I, determine our own character by the way we respond to the circumstances of life. How do you respond to difficult circumstances in life? How do you respond to positive circumstances in life? It's all about how we respond to those. By the way we treat others, that determines what our character is. By the way we work can determine our character. By the way we carry ourselves, all of these different things, they help to develop our character to determine who we are. When you go to job interviews or you apply for college admission or an internship or you're adopting children, you have to provide names of those who will be a character reference. These are people who watch you. These are people who know how you respond to life. So character is important. It matters. And it's something that we develop as we go through life. As you and I go through each and every day of our life, like Joseph, we will have people who will attack our character. People will absolutely say slanderous things about you. They will malign you. They will verbally assault you. Some of you have been the recipients of another person's verbal assaults, and you know that it's not sweet, that it's difficult. That's why I believe it's important to remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church in Philippi. This is the verse that we want to focus on as we go through this. No matter what kind of attacks come at us, we can have a confidence. Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, approximately 2,000 years or more before the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church of Philippi, a young man in Egypt was living these words out. He was developing his character as a true follower of God, as he allowed God's Spirit to lead him and encourage him, to make him unstoppable. So let's look at Joseph's character. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Genesis 39, verse 2. We're going to read verses 2 through 10. We'll talk about the whole chapter, but we're going to read verses 2 through 10. Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. What a great promise. We're going to talk about that a little bit. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, you see, that's his character. He was a man who had God present in his life. Can people say that about you? When people look at you, do they know that God is with you? That his blessing is upon your life? Do you walk as a person who walks with God, and can people identify you as such, like Joseph did? So when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all of that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." This is the cleaned up version. But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. As we look at Joseph's character, one of the things I notice is that Joseph's character was marked by integrity. Integrity, if you want to write this down, it may be in your bulletin, not sure, but integrity is who you are when nobody's looking. In the dark, quiet, secret places of life where nobody else knows about, who are you? what kind of person are you truly? See, Joseph was away from his home. He was in a strange town, and he was offered amazing opportunities. No one back home would have known if Joseph had decided to live like an Egyptian and given in to the ways of their immorality. But through all the trouble he faced and through all the temptations that came his way, Joseph kept a tight grip on his character. It was important for him to be who he claimed to be, who others thought he was. So even in the secret places, he wanted to hang on to that. It appeared that life, though, had fallen apart for Joseph. When you study his life, it becomes clear that God was personally, I believe, directing all the events of Joseph's life. It also became clear that God was using these temptations that led to pain to develop Joseph into the person God wanted him to be. God was turning this young boy into a man. God was using the hardship of life to develop him into a man of integrity for God's glory. When you take into the account all the things that Joseph faced, far too many things fell into place for Joseph in Joseph's life for these events to be mere coincidence. First, you have the intervention of his brother Reuben. The other brothers, remember, they wanted to kill Joseph, but Reuben said, hey, we're not going to kill him. Let's just put him in a pit, and Reuben was going to go back and release him later. Judah came up with the idea, instead of killing him, to sell him into slavery. And then there's the sudden appearance of the Ishmaelites, those traitors who would actually buy the slave. They did that. The fact that the Ishmaelites sold Joseph to Potiphar. Potiphar was called the captain of the guard. His position seems to have been that of a chief executioner. He was like the head of Pharaoh's secret police. He was responsible for protecting Pharaoh and dealing with those who dared to attack the king. Potiphar, by virtue of his position, would have been in contact with many of the dignitaries and political officials of Egypt. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that Joseph would have been introduced to many of the influential people who would later serve him. See, God set everything up just like it needed to be so that Joseph arrived exactly where he needed to be at the exact moment he needed to be there. And though it was hard, Joseph didn't stop. Even though Joseph didn't know exactly how this was all going to play out, he didn't see the big picture maybe, he could tell that God was at work. Joseph is a lot like you and me. We struggle with seeing how God is making all the things of life come together. But through it all, he was able to maintain his integrity. It was important to him to be who God had called him to be. He was confident in who God was calling him to be. He was content in his circumstances. And because he was confident in his call, and because he was content in his circumstances, he was able to maintain his integrity. Why? Because, in short, he trusted God, which means he was living according to God's will. However, when you and I, we start pursuing our own interests, we start to live in sin, and we're no longer following the will of God. Those are the times that we are stopped. While the events of Joseph's life appeared to be out of control, he remained confident in his call. Joseph was being protected. He was being matured by God. Notice how God developed him. You and I have the same protections that Joseph enjoyed. In Genesis 39:2, what we just read, God was present with Joseph. You and I have that same assurance that God is present with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Doesn't that just give you a bit of confidence? Knowing that the God who created the universe will never leave us. He will never forsake us. What a great promise. We can live with that assurance. That right there in itself should make you confident in God's calling on your life, should make you content in your circumstances, because he's never going to leave you. He's never going to say, Joseph knew that. I believe he believed that. Genesis 39:5-11, we see that the dreams God gave Joseph were coming to fruition. Even though Joseph couldn't see it, we can, because we live on the other side of this. What we see is that God had not forgotten Joseph. We have God's promise that all things work together for our good. That's Romans 8. The Apostle Paul wrote that. A lot of what happens in life may not make sense to us, But it doesn't change the fact that God is in control of everything. He is sovereign over all. Ephesians 1, 11 through 12 says, "In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will." That's why it's so important that we submit to His will. Why? Verse 12, "In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory." Our life is to bring praise and glory to God when we live in His will. God's purpose in our trials is not to harm us. It's not to harm us at all, but to develop us so that we learn to trust, to put our trust in Him. And we can trust Him to protect us and to grow us amid the hardships of life. No matter what cistern you're thrown into, no matter what prison people try to put you in, through those hardships, God's there. He protects us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." We have His help to deal with our past, to deal with the problems, to deal with our pain, just like Joseph did. We can overcome those things through God working in us, through His power alive in us. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 says, "We do not have to become bitter, angry, or succumb to an unforgiving spirit. We can display a sweet spirit even during the most trying of times with our Lord's help." So no matter what we're going through, maintain your integrity. Be the person God's created you to be. Live out the fruit of the Spirit during the most difficult of times. Go and read Galatians 5, 20 and read that and own that. Make that a part of your life. And everything Joseph faced, he was being developed for the glory that was waiting for him down the road. God used every good day and God used every bad day to shape Joseph into the person God wanted him to become. And that was a man of integrity. Maintaining our character happens by being a person of integrity. And as a result, it allows our character to have a positive influence on others. Remember, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And the outworking of this is that we will have an influence on others. So another thing that Joseph's character was important of is Joseph's character gave him influence. It allowed him to be an influential man on other people. Last week I mentioned that the brothers, they were jealous of Joseph's coat that Jacob had given to Joseph. And the reason they were jealous of the coat is that the coat was a symbol of who Joseph was, and it was a reminder of who the brothers were not. The coat Jacob gave Joseph was a symbol of his position in the family. This coat marked him as an overseer. That's why he was the one that went out to the field to check on his older brothers. It marked him as the head of the family. That when Jacob passed, the blessing went straight to Joseph, the youngest, well, not the youngest, but next to youngest son in the entire family. It marked him as the one in charge of all things. He was entrusted with great responsibility. It marked him as a man with authority. This coat that Jacob gave to Joseph was very important. It marked him as all these things. But when Joseph arrived in Egypt, guess what was missing? His coat. It was gone. He no longer had his coat of many colors. His symbol of influence was gone. But you know what he still had? Not his coat, but he had his character. His character was present with him. He still had influence. He was still a person of integrity. Influence doesn't come from a coat. Influence doesn't come from a coat and tie. Influence doesn't come from a nameplate outside a door. Influence doesn't come from a title. Influence comes from a person's character. As Potiphar watches Joseph, over time, what Potiphar recognizes is that there's something different about Joseph. There's something unique about this Hebrew slave of his. And as Potiphar gets to know Joseph, he begins to entrust him with more things. He begins to expand the sphere of his responsibility as Joseph increases his influence over different situations. Influence is about spreading the passion of your work, okay? Listen to that. Influence is about spreading the passion of your work, what God has called you to do. That's how we spread our influence. This is precisely what Joseph was doing. Verses 3 and 4 say, when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household. He entrusted to his care everything he owed. Why? Because of his integrity. He had influence. Because he was a man who got up and went to work, and he worked hard every day. Because of that, he was a man of influence. Same thing happened in the prison. Look down at verses 21 and 22 in chapter 39. Read those real quick. But the Lord was with Joseph. What a great promise. And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. He was a person of influence, even in a prison. The prison guard recognized something different about this man. Do people recognize something different about you as you go through life? Or do you look like all the other fish in the sea? Or because of what God has done in your life, are you a person of influence? Because of the integrity that you have developed. Joseph is a man of influence, not because of a coat, not because of a coat and tie, not because of a title on a door, but because of his character. And because of his character, Joseph was marked as an overseer in Potiphar's home and in the prison. He was marked as the greatest in his master's house, and he was marked as the one in charge of all things in the prison. He was marked as the one with authority in both Potiphar's house and in the prison. Joseph's life demonstrates the power of influence. At the death of Joseph's father, when Jacob passed away, the Egyptians' respect for Joseph was so great that a multitude of top Egyptian leaders went to Jacob's burial. Now, they didn't know Jacob, but because of Joseph's influence, they responded when his dad died. Look at Genesis 50, 7 through 9, just to get a glimpse of the type of influence that Joseph had. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house. Only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen. It was a very great company. Why? Not because they knew Jacob, but because of the influence of Joseph. The way that he carried out his integrity in front of these people day in and day out. This was a public demonstration of their gratitude for and the influence of Joseph's life and his ministry that had made a huge impact on the Egyptians. What about our lives? Do we carry that same kind of influence? Not because we are great, but because the power of God is at work within us. Are we able to influence others? You see, with Jesus Christ and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, listen, we should be having a positive influence and a positive impact upon other Christians and non-Christians alike. What kind of influence are you having because of the power of God at work in you? The Apostle Paul tells us that this is important. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are his representatives. We are to have an influence as Christ had an influence. He says, you are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. God's working through us. And Paul says, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God and allow him to work through you so that your life makes a difference, so that it has an influence on others. Let your power of influence grow and grow. Be a Joseph of the 21st century to the glory of God. He wants to speak to others through your life and through the power of your influence. All that we've said this morning, that Joseph's character was marked by integrity, that his character gave him influence, all of this is wrapped around one simple fact, and that's this. Joseph's character was grounded in God. Is your character grounded in God? Just think on that question this week. Come back to that question over and over again. Is my character, is it grounded in God? What is my character grounded in? Pay attention with me, if you will, to verse 9 in chapter 39. No one is greater in this house than I am. Now look at that, okay? My master has withheld nothing from me except you. He's talking to Potiphar's wife, because you were his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? That's the key, I believe, to Joseph's life. Men, it is a noble thing if you resist the temptation of your buddy's wife. If you ever find yourself in a position in which she's throwing herself at you. Ladies, it's a noble thing if you resist the temptation of your best friend's husband, if he's pursuing you. It's a noble thing indeed. But what is more important is the reason. It's the worldview Joseph had. It's his biblical reasoning that he resisted Potiphar's wife. Why? He doesn't want to sin against God. That's why. He's grounded in God. Doesn't want to sin against him. It's not because he's afraid that his boss will be upset with him. It's not the reason. I'm sure he didn't want to upset Potiphar and hurt him, but that's not the reason he gives. I'm sure it's not because he's afraid he's going to offend his friend or that he'll get in trouble with his own wife, which are all true, but it's because he doesn't want to sin against God. Why? Because he respects God. He reveres God. He wants to honor God with his life. There's all kinds of things we can do in secret. But when we're a person like Joseph, where integrity matters, when who we are matters, when nobody else can see, it's important that we're grounded in God. Because Joseph kept his character when most people would have given in to the flesh, guess what he got for that? Imprisonment. Man, can't you hear him? Really, God? I didn't want to sin against you, so I resisted her, and I've given you everything. I followed all your precepts. And where do you put me? Right here in prison. I just want to quit. I'm done. I want to stop. Can't you hear him saying that? No, it's probably me. That may be you. That may be the way that we would respond. But it doesn't sound like Joseph. Why? Because Joseph was unstoppable. He wasn't going to let the events in prison stop him. No, he went on and maintained his integrity in prison. He maintained his influence in prison. He remained grounded in God while in prison. And because of that, the keeper of the prison showed favor on him. Joseph kept his mind, he kept his heart on God at all times. Joseph was confident in his calling and content in his circumstances because he was grounded in God. Not because he was living in luxury as the head honcho in Potiphar's house. That's not what encouraged him. Not because he was a healthy, well-built stud who had women falling over him. Not because he was in charge of the prison, but because he was grounded in God. And Joseph was unstoppable. Folks, listen, as you and I go through life, we're going to encounter hardships. People we know are going to encounter hardships. Temptations. And Satan's going to do everything he can to throw temptation at your feet. What are you doing to resist it? Satan even tempted Jesus in the desert, in the wilderness, remember? Tempted him 3 times. He resisted. Why? Because he was grounded in God. He used Scripture to shout down the devil. That's what you and I need in our lives. We need to make sure we're grounded in God and in God's words, so that when temptation comes our way, we can resist it. Like Joseph did, like Jesus did. Are you resisting it? Even the temptation of the mind. Even when we encounter slander, when people say all kinds of dangerous things, harmful things about us. A.W. Tozer once said, "It's doubtful that God ever used anyone greatly without first hurting them deeply, allowing them to be hurt." How can we rely on the comfort of God if we haven't tasted the hurt of man? We will encounter hurtful things as we go through life. But we can rest assured that we can be unstoppable when we put our trust in God, when we put our hope and our faith in Him, when we're hurt deeply, when people lie about us, when we're thrown into the prisons of life, whether they're emotional prisons or physical prisons, we'll want to stop. But it's in those times of life that our integrity and our influence and the fact that we're grounded in God makes us unstoppable. Why? Because we can be confident of this, that it's Him who began a good work in us. We'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Are you letting Him work in you? Are you letting Him grow you into the person He wants you to be? Are you allowing God to shape your character? Are you becoming a person of integrity, a person of influence, because you're grounded in God? That's what we want for each and every person.